Welcome to Dancin' Moon Songcast. I'm Scott Simpson, casting from Dancin' Moon Studio in Spearfish Canyon on the north end of the Black Hills of South Dakota, right on the banks of the Spearfish Creek. If you'd like to follow along, you can download a free PDF of my lyric book from scottsimpsonmusic.com/lyrics. And of course, you can find links to all my music there as well. So let's get casting and find out what song we're going to talk about this time. Well, this week we're going to give a listen to a song called Deep in the Well from 2012's The Long View. So this is Deep in the Well.
Snowman, what is this color blue? Yeah. My stronghold is deep in the soil. These camels live, they don't labor,
So that was Deep in the Well. Sometimes I forget how much I had going on in that song. What a combination. That was a really fun album to work on. In that particular song, I just through this last listen, I noticed, of course, we begin with some banjo and mandolin comes in there, and then that heavy deep bass eventually. But then we've got strings, and we've got acoustic guitar. We've got the electric guitar that comes in a little bit later. And then we've got the wooden flute as well. And, you know, sometimes you learn musically from something that you stumbled into. That was 8 years ago that I put together that song. And... Now, 8 years later, I'm just listening to it and thinking, wow, I like what I was doing. I like what that guy was doing back there. So Deep in the Well, as I said, this came out on 2012's The Long View. I'm just completing remastering it very quickly. It's going to come out in a new compilation album. Compilation of songs. I just put out, as we talked about in the last episode, Being Human Instrumentals, which came with a journal for those of you who might want to listen and do some journaling, do a little bit of mindfulness work in that way. And so this kind of part two almost is... Being Human, the songs, which will have 20 songs, including this one that I'm going to talk about today. So we'll go a little more in depth with it here. I'm trying to strike a balance in the journal of giving just a little bit of background, but not overshadowing the listener's experience with the song. You know, I think that's an important thing, that you have... primarily a personal experience and connection with a song, with the music, with a set of lyrics, and that's first and foremost your connection. My connection as the songwriter is important. I don't want to downplay that, but I think it's important after you've made your connection. I think... assuming that I need to take this song in exactly the way that the songwriter or composer intended is a false idea. I think once an artist lets it go out there into the world, the artist, he or she, is hoping that it will have a life of its own, that individuals will connect in the ways that they connect, and that it will have a significance certainly far beyond the initial, original significance that whatever piece of art or creative work it is came out of. But that being said, This podcast is about you finding out a little bit about where this started, where these lyrics came from, all of that. So that's what we're about today in this episode of Dancing Moon Songcast. So let's just a little bit of background. I've mentioned before, I am a facilitator for a group called the Center for Courage and Renewal, and I've led a large number of retreats, primarily with teachers, but also with others. Some of those retreats are formed in a series called a seasonal retreat series, which basically means we meet at least four, maybe five times, but in each different season, fall, winter, spring, summer, and in the five retreat series, we meet again in the fall. But more than just when those meetings are happening, we bring in seasonal themes, things that are going on in that season, in the natural world, things about seeds being buried, the world feeling perhaps dead during a time, but life waiting underneath the snow, the ideas of mud and growth and the ideas of summer and things that maybe connect with us in our personal journeys that have to do with the particular season that we're meeting in. And so what's nice about that is then we meet at a camp here in the Black Hills, and so people are able to extend those connections by spending some time outside experiencing the season itself. So this song came out of my journal notes for one of those seasonal retreat series, my personal journal notes, not notes about facilitating the series, but you know, we have a good deal of time to go and spend on our own after some discussions or prompts and some things like that. And so after a number of the readings and activities that we did, I had a journal full of things coming out of all four seasons. And so I took just small bits and pieces, moments out of each of those four. And I believe I did this during the summer retreat. Took something from each of the seasons and brought it together to make a full cycle. And that's what this song is. So we'll take a look at these four. There are four sections generally here in this song. Take a look at those and see what's going on. Deep in the well. In the fall, my ego needed sleep. He sat up nights composing poems I could not keep. My strong root is when the quiet reveals my voice. My strong root is when stillness makes my choice. My strong root is at the bottom of this hand-dug well. How far the bucket has to drop, I cannot tell. I cannot tell. So that's the first verse and refrain. So one of the challenges that I had being an English teacher, English professor, actually focused on creative writing. We do a lot of journaling in these retreats, and I was very used to an ego-driven sort of writing, writing a lot of poems. That's what I focused on, and writing them for publication. So as I'm writing, thinking a lot about shaping the poem, shaping it for an audience, about. You know, and I don't know that that's even healthy for a poet, but it's certainly not healthy for someone who's just simply trying to do some reflective journaling. And I had a hard time getting out of that, a hard time not trying to impress whomever was going to hear a segment of my journal, not trying to just wow them with my poem But to actually do some honest sharing, I still have struggle with that. And that's a struggle with ego. That's a struggle with ego. If you see yourself as an artist of any sort, a poet, an artist, a musician, a songwriter, whatever, you want people to be wowed. You want people to be impressed. And so every once in a while, you have to stop and say, hey, how much of this is honest, is really coming forth from the inside, from deep down inside, and how much of this is just ego? How much of this is just done to impress? So these sections after that first part, set up night composing poems I could not keep, all of these lines about my strong root, when the quiet reveals my voice, when the stillness makes my choice. My strong root's at the bottom of this hand-dug well. How far the bucket has to drop, I cannot tell. All of those are about escaping ego, I think. Being quiet when the quiet reveals my voice. That paradox. When being quiet is the only way I can truly hear my own voice. Because if I'm being quiet, I'm not igniting that ego. When stillness makes my choice. When instead of going this way or going that way, I become still and the choice becomes clear. Or rather than getting out and getting in the mix and saying, look at me, digging deep toward the interior, toward the bottom, toward the root in a deep well, and not knowing how far that bucket's going to have to drop to bring up water. And that's what this process was for me, a deep process of reflective work and digging a deep well to see what was at the bottom, or if there was a bottom. So that, of course, was fall, autumn. We move into winter. The winter came, and the snow began to fall. I built no shelter, had no covering at all. I am unveiling something ancient inside. I'm uncovering all I've tried to hide. I give up speaking for listening. The wisdom's in the air. It's glistening. It's glistening. I'll start with that last verse. Of course, there's a reference there to snow. The wisdom in the air. It's glistening. It's glistening. I'm not speaking. I'm listening. And the wisdom in the air. It's in the air and it's glistening. Sitting still, sitting quiet. Meditational. Listening to the natural environment. The quiet of winter. The quiet of snow. And going back to the beginning of this. Not sheltering from that. You know. And sheltering comes in a lot of different forms. It comes in covering up, but it also comes in avoiding, running away, running to find something far away from whatever is threatening. And winter, of course, we need shelter because winter is threatening. Winter is dangerous. You could freeze to death out there. Leaving yourself open to what winter brings is what this verse is talking about. Unveiling. It unveils something ancient inside. Uncovering the things I've tried to hide. And no longer speaking but listening to the silent snow. To the wisdom that's glistening in the air. It's a stillness that I think is especially helpful in winter and especially available in winter. Winter is a traditional time for telling stories, for being reflective, for listening to stories, for sitting still by the fire. So we move on to spring. In the spring, the horses roll and play. They sun their bellies. They upend an April day. I'll place the earth beneath my head of mud and early grass. I'll make my bed. I'll show my teeth and snort at the sky. Can't you see the idea of summer in these wild Mustang eyes? Mustang eyes. So at the particular retreat center that we were at this year that these notes were taken, we did have right close some horses. And in the spring, the horses were just amazing. They were frolicking and jumping, and they were rolling on their backs in the mud and just thoroughly celebrating what was coming. They were celebrating. And it was still cold. There was still some cold, but there was sun. And there was still some snow, but it was melting and it was turning things to mud. And it was still winter, but there was the beginnings of grass coming up. And it was moving in that undeniably spring direction. And the horses seemed to embody that. And so in my notes in that spring journal, I remember sitting and watching the horses and riding about being a Mustang, being a horse, about experiencing the world, experiencing this new season of rebirth, of things coming back to life. And that's where that verse came from. In the song, then, we move into that instrumental section. This is where the electric guitar starts, and we have a nice instrumental section. I still really enjoy that. It makes me want to pick up the electric guitar again. I mean, not that I haven't picked it up, but do something with that again, because that is such a joyous, and coming in that right on the heels of that spring verse, just really a joyous instrumental section there, which takes us then to summer. And in the summer, all the world's in bloom. Sun brings down the snow melt and waters this colorful loom. My strong root, going back to the beginning, my strong root is deep in this soil. These camas lilies don't labor, they don't toil, they don't toil, they don't toil. There's no fence could mark the edge of what it means to live. You'll never dig so deep, you'll hit the end of what you have to give. The deeper the well, the more life there is to give. The deeper the well, the more life there is to give. The deeper the well, the more life there is to give. The deeper the well, the more life there is to give. And so this summer verse, it's about the world being in bloom. It's about the sun bringing down the snows from the high elevations, watering all of the rich valleys. And then there's a reference there to camas lilies, which is a reference to one of the poems that we read, did that year, especially in the summer, in that summer retreat. And it's a poem about camas lilies, which the indigenous people used to eat, and people who study that sort of thing like to talk about and analyze, you know, the nutritional value of those. And the poem, though, is saying they're just there in the field and they're beautiful. Does it make them more beautiful to know what sort of nutrition is embodied in that? I mean, that's interesting, but sometimes things just need to be beautiful. They just need to be beautiful. And then she turns it toward herself and says, I'm gone to the field to be lovely. And so those camas lilies, of course, are also a reference to scripture that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed in beauty like one of these lilies. So the idea of being beautiful just for beauty's sake, for being wild just for being wild's sake, for letting go of the work and rolling on your back in the mud, showing your teeth at the sky, and being a part of this earth, being a part of this world. It all builds to that. And so at the end, we answer that question. The question from the beginning, how far does the bucket have to drop? How deep does this well need to be? There's no fence that could mark the edge of what it means to live. You'll never dig so deep. You'll hit the end of what you have to give. The possibilities are limitless. Don't worry about how far you're going to have to dig. Don't worry about where the fence is. Just go. Just dig. For me, that's reflective work. You know, sometimes we get scared. I don't want to look too deeply. I don't want to look too closely at anything. I don't want to analyze too. I don't want to spend too much time in silence. I'll think too much about this other thing that I want to try to forget. Have the courage to go deep and to not worry about how deep you're going to have to go or what you might find at the bottom. Because in my experience, the deeper the well, the more life there is to give. You're only going to find good stuff. Now, I'm not saying it's not going to be painful. I'm not saying there won't be some scary, frightening things down there as you dig. But I think bringing them out into the light, into that summer sun, I think that's always good. So as I already talked a little bit about the music, it's a joyous song to me in my mind. It combines a lot of elements that I just love having combined, and having listened to it again was really, I've been listening to it a few times as I've been working on the remaster and the journal and thinking about it. It's one of my favorites, I think. I think it's one of my favorites. So there you have it. That's Deep in the Well from 2012's The Long View. Also, very, very, very soon from 2020's Being Human, The Songs, the remastered version, along with 19 other songs and an opportunity to journal in that free journal that you'll be able to download with that. So, of course, you can find that, and you can find all of my other music and lyrics at www.scottsimpsonmusic.com. Stream me on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Music, all the others. And I hope that you are taking care of yourself. This is a hard time. We're in a time of social distancing, and I'm trying not to talk too much about it, but I'm hoping that what we do here with this podcast, with this songcast, is helpful to you. It is helpful to me. It is helpful to me to be able to spend this time doing something productive and sending it out there into the world for potential connection, even though I'm not connecting with a lot of people on a very physical level right now. So take care of yourself and take care of those you love. And do what's best for those who you don't even know. That's what we're all trying to do with this social distancing during this time. We will get through it. Thanks for joining me, Dance and Moon Songcast. Be well.